How our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, would celebrate the day of Eid. How would their Eid be like? Before we begin, let's hear an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif. Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, As-salatu alayya nurun ala sirat. Sending salutations upon me will be nur, will be a light for you on the bridge of sirat. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Eid is a day wherein Muslims express joy. And this is what we're supposed to do. We are showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We express happiness, joy, pleasure. It's a feast from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala forgives the Muslims. Because of this, shaitan, our worst enemy, who is back out now in full force, he becomes angry, he becomes infuriated. And in Mukashafatul Qulub, it states that Shaitan screams and cries on the occasion of Eid every year. And seeing him cry, meaning the head Shaitan, Iblis, the other Shayateen, the minions, they gather around him and they ask, "Oh Master, why are you so furious and disappointed today?" He replies, "Regretfully, Allah has forgiven the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam today. So make them indulge in satisfying their carnal desires." Allahu Akbar. We learn from this that Shaitan orders his minions to go all out, to spend their full force in misguiding the Muslims, in getting them to indulge in their carnal, their lower, their sinful desires. And it's evident that this works for Shaitan. Why? Because where you have Muslims who even on the day of Eid maintain uprightness, taqwa, you have greater number of Muslims, greater number, far greater, who do the opposite. Now that Ramadan has passed, they forget their salah. They arrange parties wherein music is played. They don't do the good deeds that they were doing regularly in the days of Ramadan Kareem, which tells us that Shaitan has somewhat succeeded and he's got Muslims to waste the day of Eid in frivolous activities, in fulfilling unlawful desires, so parties going on, dancing, free mixing, music, wealth is wasted, wealth is spent on haram. Remember, this is something that the Quran forbids in the 26th and 27th verses of Surah Bani Israel, para 15. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. Translation, and spend not extravagantly. No doubt the spend thrifts are the brothers of the devils, meaning Shaitan, and the devil is very ungrateful to his Lord. Allahu Akbar. So on the day of Eid, we must ensure that we're not being ensnared and entangled in the net and the traps of Shaitan. Otherwise, we will waste the day of Eid and end up disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alongside that, we are showing that we are worse than animals. What differentiates humans and animals? Aql, intellect. Because if it was strength, many animals are stronger, far stronger than humankind. If it was any other reason, so flying, many animals can fly. If it was living in the sea, there are many sea creatures, aquatic animals. So there's a distinguishing factor between humans and animals. It's not body mass. It's not the speed. It's not whether we can fly or not. It's not whether we can live and reside in the sea or not. The distinguishing factor and the factor that gives us fadila, excellence, over the other creatures in creation is aqal, intellect. Allah has given us an intellect, and we must show that our intellect is sound by making sound judgments, by carrying out lawful activities, by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by avoiding His displeasure, by staying far away from the traps of shaitan, the insinuations of shaitan, the wasawis of shaitan. So we have to show that we're truly humans, and we have to fulfill the maqsad of our life as well. What's the purpose of our life? Is it just to eat, drink, sleep, enjoy ourselves? No. That's what non-believers, that's what others do who are not believers in Allah, believers in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran tells us, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُوا الْأَنْعَامُ وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًى لَهُمْ. Those who disbelieve in Allah, they take pleasure in worldly desires. They eat just like animals eat. And as a result, because they fail to fulfill the goal of life, the purpose of life, they will enter the fire. Fire is their final abode. But as for Muslims, we're told in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, and this goes for all mankind, that they must heed this advice. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah is the one who created death and life so that He may test us to see which one of us is better in terms of righteous actions, righteous deeds. So yes, celebrate Eid. Show joy and happiness, but within the boundaries and limitations of Sharia. Otherwise, we'll end up wasting these precious days of Eid as well. And as a result, Allah Ta'ala will become displeased with us. There is a saying in Arabic, and this acts as a warning for us all. The saying goes as follows, لَيْسَ الْعِيدُ لِمَنْ لَبِسَ الْجَدِيدُ. Eid isn't for the one wearing new clothes. إِنَّمَا الْعِيدُ لِمَنْ خَافَ الْوَعِيدُ. Rather, Eid is for the one who fears divine retribution, who fears the punishment of Allah on the day of Eid as well. And that stops him from doing things on the day of Eid in the name of happiness and joy, which are not allowed in Islam. So how would the awliya Allah celebrate? I remember these waqiyat that I'm about to narrate, the maqsad behind them isn't to make us follow exactly what they did, because it's not possible. The awliya Allah were at such a level where they could do these actions easily, as you will hear. But for us, our maqam is way less than the awliya Allah, than the salihin, than the righteous, who have punished their nafs ammara, the lower ego, the lower nafs, which incites towards desires and unlawful desires. They have suppressed that nafs, they have defeated that nafs. We haven't done so. So when we hear these examples, it shouldn't come to our mind, oh, how is that possible? We can't follow the example of so-and-so. The purpose behind mentioning these examples is to show the level of taqwa they had, and so that we think to ourselves that we should show at least the same level of taqwa that we showed in Ramadan. If we were able to show taqwa in Ramadan, with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should show that taqwa on the day of Eid as well. And not for the sake of people, for our own sake. I can do it on the day of Eid as well. I don't have to follow the status quo. I don't have to follow what other people are doing. Just because other people are sinning, does that mean I have to sin? No. So this first account is of the great Waliullah Sayyiduna Dhunnun Misri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. It's mentioned in Tadhkiratul Awliya that he hadn't consumed, eaten his favorite food or delicious food for 10 years straight. Imagine that, 10 years. If today people don't have their favorite smash burger or their pizza or their shawarma or whatever it is, after a few days, become restless. They demand their parents to buy it. Buy it for me, otherwise I'm not eating anything. People will end up spending so much more than they can afford just to fulfill these carnal desires, fulfill the desires of the nafs for certain foods. Now, Sayyidina Zunnun Misri rahmatullahi alayhi, 10 years straight, he had suppressed his nafs, subjugated it, and he hadn't eaten delicious food, despite the nafs wanting it as well. And once what happened, on the sacred night of Eid, his heart suggested that he eat something delicious because it's the day of Eid after all. So he put his heart to the test, and the awliya would do this. He said, first I'll recite the entire Quran in 2 rak'at of salah, O my heart. If you support me in doing so, then I'll eat something delicious tomorrow. And I'll obey you in this regard. What happened? As you can imagine, Sayyidina Dhunun Misri, an Abid, Zahid, Muttaqi, he was successful in completing the whole Quran in 2 rak'at of salah. Alhamdulillah, the awliya did this. Thereafter, because his heart supported him in this matter, he arranged delicious food. Now, as he picked up a morsel of that food that he had desired, it's been 10 years, you can imagine now, he was about to eat it, he suddenly became anxious and he put that morsel of food down. He didn't eat it. When he was asked about this, he said, as I was about to eat that delicious morsel of food, my nafs said to me triumphantly that at last I've succeeded in satisfying your 10-year-long desire. Listening to this, I became anxious and replied, if this is the case, then I will never let you succeed, O nafs, and I will never eat this delicious food. So Zunnun Misri stopped himself from eating that delicious morsel of food. Why? Because his nafs said to him that I am victorious now. Although 10 years it's been you haven't eaten anything delicious, now I've got the upper hand. And again he defeated his nafs. He said no. But look at the karam, look at the generosity upon such people. It's narrated that a man entered the house along with a tray of delicious food and said, I prepared this food last night for myself. When I slept, my sleeping fate awoke. I was blessed to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream. The Prophet alaihi wasallam ordered me, if you want to see me on the day of judgment as well, take this food to Zunnun and say to him, Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhuma has said, reconcile with your nafs for a moment and eat a few morsels of this delicious food. Listening to this order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Zunnun Misri rahmatullahi alayhi immediately started eating the food and saying emotionally that I obey. Allahu Akbar Kabira. I'm obedient. He's following the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here we learn how our pious elders rahimahumullahu ta'ala would spend even the day of Eid, avoiding the plots of shaitan, avoiding the tricks of the nafs. So the least we can do is avoid haram. They would avoid things which were permissible even. That's how much they would suppress their nafs and desire. We, on the day of Eid, we can't even avoid the sinful. We can't even fulfill the 5 daily salah. We can't even avoid intermingling with the opposite gender, ghair maharim. Listening to music, people hire out cars, they speed on famous roads up and down the UK. They're speeding. Ma'adallah, some of ma'adallah, on many occasions, tragic accidents have happened due to recklessness, due to carelessness. People lose their lives. The driver many a times loses his life. The passengers, pedestrians, people on the road, Allahu Akbar. This is what's happening in our communities. This is not the way of a believer. Believer is he from whose hands and tongue others remain safe from. And we should know that when we're putting ourselves in that situation, driving a fast car, it's very likely that something might occur. Because let's be honest, nobody hires a fast car to drive at the legal limit. I'm saying that generally. That when they hire these fast cars, they want to show that they have the fastest car. They want to show to people that they have the best car on the road. They'll race with others. They'll do all sorts of things with the car so that the onlookers say, whoa, look at him, he's a driver. Look how he managed to do that, etc., etc. But it's not worth it. So the reality is, many a times, those people who are doing these things don't understand the concept of Eid, how it's a day of gratitude to Allah, not a day to disobey. They don't understand the concept of Ramadan even, how it's a month wherein we develop our taqwa. And it's been seen generally that those people who don't respect Ramadan, those people who don't fulfill the rites of Ramadan, they're the first to try and celebrate Eid. They feel that they're deserving. When in reality, the fact of the matter is they're not deserving. Deserving of Eid are those who spend their days and nights worshipping Allah, fasting, going for Taraweeh, giving sadaqah, giving zakat, avoiding sins. These people are deserving of Eid. Not those who neglected Ramadan Kareem. Not those who violated the sanctity of Ramadan. Eid is not for them, but they are seen to be the first celebrating Eid. Let's see a few examples of the Sahaba, Ajilla, esteemed Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and how they would spend the day of Eid. And when we hear these examples, we're brought to shame. These people were deserving of celebrating Eid, but look how they spend the day of Eid. Today we feel we're entitled. Allahu Akbar. We do a bit of worship, we feel we're entitled. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, Al-Faruq al-A'zam radiallahu ta'ala, the individual who the Prophet alayhi salam prayed for, that he embrace Islam, so that Islam strengthens. The second greatest companion after Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Let's hear regarding him. On the day of Eid, some people came to the house of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu to meet and greet him. But the door was closed and the sound of crying was emanating from the house. When the door opened, they asked surprisingly, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, today is Eid and everyone is delighted. Why are you crying?" Listen to his wisdom-filled answer. He radiallahu ta'ala and replied whilst wiping his tears, "This is the day of Eid, but it's also the day of Wa'id, warning. This is Eid for the one whose salah and fasting have been accepted. But it is the day of warning for the one whose worship, salah and fasts have been rejected and thrown onto his face. And I am crying because أَنَا لَا أَدْرِي أَمِنَ الْمَقْبُولِينَ أَمْ مِنَ الْمَطْرُودِينَ I do not know whether I am amongst those whose fasts and salah and worship has been accepted, or I am included in the list of those whose ibadat, whose fasts, whose salah have been rejected. Allahu Akbar. Look at that deep inside of Sayyidina Umar. Look how he would think. Even though when we look at the reality, he is a qat'i jannati, Amirul Mu'mineen. This is his outlook, considering himself lowly in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar Kabira. We can never ever say that our worship, our ibadat, our fasts, our salah is like Sayyidina Umar's, or it's at that level. We lack ikhlas, we lack taqwa, we lack khushu and khuzu. Sayyidina Umar had all of these things in abundance. Yet this was his outlook on the day of Eid. Let's hear a few more accounts regarding Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar, on the day of Eid, saw his own son wearing old clothes. Saddened by his son's apparent outward condition, he radiallahu anhu began to cry. Seeing his father crying, his son asked, "Dear father, why are you crying?" He radiallahu anhu replied, "My son, I'm afraid that your heart will break when the other boys see you in old clothes today on the occasion of Eid." His son replied, "Dear father, the heart of the one who disobeys Allah Azza wa Jal and one's parents should break. I am hopeful that Allah will be pleased with me because you are pleased with me." When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu heard this reply from his son, he embraced his son and prayed for him. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Umar is looking at his son and he's getting emotional. When his son sees other people wearing new clothes, when they see him, meaning the son of Sayyidina Umar, wearing old clothes, he'll become disheartened. His heart will break. But what was his reply? No. The hearts of those should break who disobey Allah and disobey their parents. And I am hopeful that because you are pleased with me, O Father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also be pleased with me. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu heard this, embraced his son and prayed for him. Allahu Akbar. Look at the thinking. Look at the mindset. Look at the taqwa, the piety in this blessed family. It's narrated regarding Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, who is from the righteous Khulafa, radiallahu ta'ala. His daughters, princesses, came before him. And they said, "Father, which clothes are we going to wear tomorrow for Eid?" He radiallahu anhu replied, "The same clothes you are wearing right now. Wash them and wear them tomorrow again." They replied, "No, dear father, buy new clothes for us." This is what the girls were insisting on. He radiallahu anhu said, "My dear daughters, Eid is the day when we are supposed to worship and thank Allah Azza wa Jal. Wearing new clothes isn't something that is mandatory." They replied, "You are right, father, but our friends will taunt us saying that you are wearing the same old clothes even on Eid, despite being the daughters of Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu." When the girls said this, they began to cry. Now, obviously the father, upon seeing such a thing, would feel emotional as well. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu called and asked the treasurer to give him a month's salary in advance. But the treasurer refused to do so, saying, "Sir, are you sure that you will remain alive for another month?" Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi thanked and prayed for the treasurer, who then left without giving. Then he radiallahu anhu said to his daughters, "My dear daughters, sacrifice your desires for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Look at this example. This is an example which, if we're honest, doesn't exist today. Even if you buy new clothes for children today, they're still complaining. "Oh, I wanted it to be like this. This one doesn't look as good as so-and-so's." And here we have an example that when the daughters became emotional that we're going to be wearing the same clothes on Eid, you're telling us to just wash them. Other girls will taunt us. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu felt discomforted somewhat. "Oh, my daughters are saying this." So he called the treasurer, asked for a month's salary in advance. But the treasurer advised him, and they would advise in those days, "You do not know whether you'll be alive for another month." And he said to his daughters, "Oh, daughters, sacrifice your pleasures for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So these accounts are to give us an insight into how the awliyaullah, the salihin, the righteous, celebrated Eid in the past and how far we have deviated from that way. Today, people indulge in the unlawful. Alcohol is drunk. Yes, Muslims are drinking alcohol on the day of Eid, but generally as well. Drugs are taken. People become intoxicated, do all sorts of sins thereafter. Adultery is rife, fornication is rife. These things are happening all around us. And how fortunate is the one who is safe from all of these evils in society. And on the day of Eid, he still spends it in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sits amongst his family members and gives nasiha, invites towards good, forbids evil, even on the day of Eid. He doesn't sit there with his relatives, uncles, cousins, boasting, or vice versa. "Oh, in Ramadan, we managed to get up on so many days for tahajjud. We gave this much sadaqah, we gave zakat, we fed so many people, we did this charity work, we provided iftar for so-and-so family." No, on the day of Eid, again, they're hiding, concealing their good deeds, just like before. They know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. As long as Allah knows, anyone else does not have to know. This is a raz, a secret between us and Allah. On the day of Eid, this person is still spending the day in a manner which pleases Allah, pleases the Prophet alayhi salam, in line with Sharia, not putting a foot wrong, fulfilling his salahs, giving charity, maintaining blood relations, visiting his family members, entering happiness into the hearts of children, counseling others, advising others. This is how Eid is spent. And if we indulge so much in our desires to the extent that we fall into the unlawful, then what have we achieved? This day of gratitude, this day of thankfulness, are you going to thank Allah by disobeying Him? How does that work? That's the opposite. It's a contradiction. But, "Oh Allah, it's the day of Eid. I want to thank you by sinning." Astaghfirullah. That is what the states of people are saying. This is what the actions are reflecting. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still has pious people on the earth, salihin, righteous, who guide us, who instruct us. And we shouldn't look at their words with disdain. We shouldn't mock them. We shouldn't have ill feelings towards them. "Oh, Mawlana sahab, Imam sahab is telling us to have a boring Eid." Remember, if your Eid is spent doing nothing and you only obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing your salah, nothing else, that's better than for you to spend it in a way where you're eating 10 meals a day, you're visiting people, you're doing all of these actions, but at the same time you're mixing those actions with sin. You're listening to music, you're intermingling with the opposite gender, you're swearing, you're abusing others, road rage, you're speeding, you're harming others, you're reckless. So the Day of Eid needs to be pure from all of these things. And we need to take a leaf out of the book of the Awliyaullah, the Sahaba, the Salihin of the Ummah, and follow in their footsteps in how we celebrate Eid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq in this regard. May Allah make this Eid a day where we please Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. May Allah make this a day where we build upon and we become righteous until our last day on earth. Ameen, bijahin Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Blissful Eid, blissful Eid. May Allah's blessings be upon you today, and fill your life with joy in earth.